And we're back, and I'm now joined by Chris Tindall, a member of the Green Party Shadow Cabinet, here to speak to us today about the Security and Partnership Prosperity Pact. Good morning, Chris Tindall. Are you there?
Hi. Hi, John. How are you?
Good, thanks. Can you tell us about the SPP? What is this agreement?
Sure. The Security and Prosperity Partnership, which is rather ironically and ominously named, is an agreement that's currently being negotiated in secret by our government, the government of Canada, and the American and Mexican governments. It was started, put into place by the Liberal government, the former Liberal government, but it's really been accelerated under this Conservative government. And basically what it proposes to do, some critics of the SPP have called it NAFTA on steroids. It proposes to deeply integrate many different aspects of Canadian, Mexican, and American governance, such as military, economic, trade, security, these sorts of energy policy, those sorts of things.
And this came to a head just last week as the group met in Montebello. Could you talk about that?
That's right. I say it's been negotiated in secret because up until that meeting, there hasn't actually been any public high-profile meeting that we've known about, that the public has been able to comment on. And then even at that meeting in Montebello, the agenda was still secret. There was the only group that the three government leaders invited to comment on the SPP was a group of business executives, of CEOs. There was absolutely no comment welcome from any other group of Canadians or Americans or Mexicans on the agenda, which again is still a secret to us.
And that event, the SPP, started coming out of nowhere, really. You hadn't heard anything about it maybe a week before the summit, and then all of a sudden the news picked up.
That's right. Well, it began, I mean, the negotiations began in March in 2005, and the SPP is, in fact, negotiations had begun before that, but that was when it started to be referred to as the Security and Prosperity Partnership. And things have been advanced, as I say, under the radar since then. About a year ago now, we're coming up on the anniversary of a meeting that took place, or we're told took place, in Canada, in Alberta, with high-level people. The invitation list included people, excuse me, like Donald Rumsfeld from the United States, members of our government like Stockwell Day and Gordon O'Connor. And it wasn't publicized in advance. The meeting wasn't publicized or made available to the media. It was only reported afterwards. And when the media asked Stockwell Day about it, they said, you know, did you actually have this high-level meeting with business and political and military officials from the United States and Mexico? Stockwell Day said, well, it's a private meeting. I don't have to report on it, and you journalists should understand that. So that was a year ago. I think that should have been big news then, but it wasn't. And since then, the Harper government has been slowly making changes, regulatory changes and administrative changes to creep towards an alignment of American and Canadian trade policies and health policies and, you know, what Harper dismissively called the standardization of the jelly bean really means that we would have to put all of our, we don't know exactly what it means, but the fear is that we would have to align our food and water and all those sorts of policies with those of the United States.
Now, this being a fairly substantive change, it would sound like if it is, as described, NAFTA on steroids or whatnot, it would be presumably subject to public scrutiny. How is it that this is that these agreements are or talks are going forward in secret? How is that possible?
I wish I could give you a good answer to that. I think it's a very good question. I can only speculate that it has to do. I mean, it's not just that it hasn't been subject to public scrutiny. It hasn't even been subject to parliamentary scrutiny. So I think that this, you know, if I were a member of parliament right now in an opposition party, I would be seriously questioning whether or not this government can continue to have the confidence of the House, because they are negotiating something very significant without subjecting it to the scrutiny of parliamentarians or Canadians at large. And so that's certainly a very serious charge on its own.
Now, in a statement after the talks, the leaders of Canada, Mexico, and the United States talked a bit about some of the environmental benefits that we might be able to expect from this agreement. Could you talk about those?
Well, I think that's actually a bit of a joke. Certainly, there is a need for international cooperation on the issue of the environment, and the Green Party will be the first to admit that and advocate for it, as we have and we will continue to do. But when you look at, for example, we take a look at NAFTA. There's a provision in NAFTA, which most Canadians don't know about, which says that if an American company, or any company from any of the three countries, but as an example, if an American company is, say, putting poison into Canadian groundwater, and the Canadian government passes a law that says, no, you actually can't put poison into our water, if the American company can prove under NAFTA that that law has inhibited their ability to make a profit, then they can have the law overturned. That's the sort of thing that was negotiated in secret during the NAFTA process, and that's the sort of thing that is in danger of being extended under the SPP process. So you look at other examples to do with energy policy where we are required under NAFTA to ship, it's called the proportionality clause, we're required to continue to ship a certain percentage, the maximum percentage that we've always shipped of our oil and natural gas to the United States in perpetuity. The fear now with the Security and Prosperity Partnership is that water, our water may become, fall under that same condition. So what that would mean is that if we started shipping fresh water to the United States, pumping it to the United States, even as there's drought throughout North America, and Lake Superior, we now know, is at its lowest levels, and I think it's 80 years, that water would then, we would have to continue in perpetuity pumping the same percentage of water to the United States. And that we know from minutes that have been leaked from meetings under the SPP process, that water is on the table. The minutes that were leaked said everything is on the table. So those are the sorts of really serious concerns that people have.
So a lot of it has to do with control of resources, but there were some advantages which were touted as part of this agreement, specifically having to do with crossing the border. There's a lot of the dangerous transfer of cargo and hazardous waste and chemicals to one canister to another as vehicles cross the border. What is it that they're expecting to see as a benefit from that?
Well, the benefit that they're describing and that they're hoping for is quicker border travel and more of a free flow of trade. The Green Party has always favored fair trade over free trade, and I think that even the regulations that the American government have been introducing in the wake of 9/11 in terms of their security regulations have inhibited trade more than anything. So this is a bit of an effort, purportedly at least, to streamline that and have border crossing made a little more easy. And that does sound, you know, all in good on the surface. The problem with that, the implications are, and that now we're getting into another problem with the SPP, is that that also means that we would need to have aligned immigration policies. If we're going to be going straight, you know, easily from the United States to Canada, then what we're really talking about is creating Fortress North America, creating a standardized set of criteria that say whether or not you're allowed to enter North America. So we could have American politicians, for example, saying that persecution on the grounds of sexual orientation is no longer an adequate claim to be made for refugee status in Canada, because we know that the United States hasn't been very favorable toward that, and obviously Canada more recently doesn't have a very good record. We just deported one individual, or we're threatening to. However, those sorts of decisions need to be made by Canadians, and it's a reflection of our own sovereignty. And that includes then into the area of foreign policy and military policy, whereby the SPP is an effort to integrate those policies as well so that Canada could no longer have an independent foreign policy. It's conceivable that we wouldn't have the ability, that our militaries would be so integrated, we wouldn't have the ability to, for example, say no to the war in Iraq.
And harmonization of as it's called, of regulations regarding containment and treatment of environmental policies. What does that mean for individual nations? Does that mean that we'd have to fall to a single lower standard for whatever environmental policy might be at stake, or does it mean we'd rise to the more strict environmental policy among the three nations?
Well, you're right. That is the danger. The danger is that we would fall to the lower standard. That we would have to accept the lowest common denominator. That's certainly the danger in terms of, you know, what sort of chemicals we would allow to go into our food and into our water. There's a concern that those regulations are not as high in some areas in the United States, and that we would be forced to adopt their lower standards. So those sorts of things are certainly a concern. Obviously, there are reasons for. I mean, if something is toxic or if something is carcinogenic, it's carcinogenic everywhere. So there is some sense behind saying, listen, this particular chemical we know does harm to humans. It shouldn't be in anyone's food. And to align those sorts of things if that's the kind of standard you're going to apply. But the problem is we have absolutely no reason to believe or no confidence that that is the standard that's being applied in this process, that instead, as you say, suggest we're going to be dropping down to a lower standard. And even if it was, there's no transparency around the process. Again, we don't have the agenda. We don't know what's being discussed. And the only reason for that, the only reason why our governments would try and hide from us what is being discussed, is if they knew that Canadians would not support it, and that Americans wouldn't support it, and that Mexicans wouldn't support it. So that's what is concerning to me as well, is this idea that obviously there is something that is worth hiding here. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going to such effort to hide it. They wouldn't be, we don't know who's responsible, we may never know, but whoever it was planting provocateurs and to try and discredit the credible protesters. The police provocateurs that were exposed.
No, so, could you talk about that? What is this? This happened at the Montebello summit.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen this YouTube video of a union leader confronting. You know, there were a group of peaceful protesters, middle-aged or older men and women, who were peacefully protesting the SPP summit in Montebello, and there were three men dressed like they looked like they wanted to start a riot, and in fact, one of them was holding a rock in one hand and had an empty glass bottle in his back pocket. And when the peaceful protesters confronted these three men and said, you know, put down the rock, this is a peaceful protest, we don't want you here, you look like you're trying to start something and that's not why we're here, the men started to act very suspicious and then, in fact, moved towards the police line, had a conversation with the police officers, were let through the police line, and then were wrestled to the ground and arrested by police. Photographs indicated that they were wearing the exact same issue of boots as the police officers. For several days, the police force tried to... So obviously the implication was that they were undercover police officers. For several days, the police force tried to deny this. They said, well, we have no record of those arrests, and we certainly weren't using undercover agents. And then they had to come out and say, oh, no, actually, sorry, we lied. Those were police officers. We do have a record of those arrests. However, they weren't trying to start violence. Well, you know, I've got a serious trust issue with that when we weren't told the truth in the first place. So we need a public investigation into that, absolutely, because we need to know who gave that order, and we need to know where it came from. We also know that the U.S. Army was involved in the security preparations for this event. So there are very serious questions about, was the RCMP directing that? Was the U.S. Army directing that? We have no idea. And as long as this government is going to be as dismissive about it as they have been, we may never know.
Now, could you talk about where the battle lines fall? There is the Conservative Party is behind this agreement. A local candidate was unable to join us this morning. They really seem to be the primary group. The Fraser Institute, who I contacted, does not have any specific research done on the SPP. As I've heard, there may be groups in the United States from across the political spectrum. Could you talk about that?
Well, yeah, I think what you're referencing is the fact that across this is an issue that has transcended the right-left spectrum, which is one of the reasons why. I mean, you know that the Green Party also we don't really acknowledge that left-right spectrum. We don't think it's the most. We acknowledge it, but we don't think it's the most useful to be applied to many of the issues that are now facing us. And this is one of those issues, because when it comes to national sovereignty, when it comes to human rights, when it comes to health and safety, these are not left or right issues. They're issues that should concern every Canadian and American and Mexican. So one of the interesting things we've seen is opposition to this partnership from both the left and the right. And specifically in the United States, there are some right-wing politicians who are who describe themselves as right-wing politicians, who are very concerned about what this could do for American sovereignty. So if they're concerned about American sovereignty, you know that we really should be concerned about our Canadian sovereignty because of how much larger the United States is and how much more forceful they could be. I mean, if, you know, if we're really talking about steps towards a North American Union. You know, the things that might be on the table include a common currency and a common border and common military operations. So those sorts of things would mean the erosion of some people have called this the plan to disappear Canada.
And that's certainly a much bigger kettle of fish than we have time for this morning. But Chris Sindel, what is the immediate future for the SPP? When will we hear more about whether it is or is not to be?
Well, again, that's not entirely clear. But I think that in terms of, you know, you ask about the future, I think the most important thing we as Canadians can do is become more informed about this, challenge our government on it, don't accept the fact that, you know, no representative from the Conservative Party, maybe they were unavailable or maybe they were unwilling to come on today and actually defend it. We can't accept that. We have to continue to challenge them to ask these questions. I would encourage people to go to greenparty.ca/SPP to find out. There's an FAQ fact sheet there. It's a nonpartisan. We put it together, but it doesn't take a partisan position. It basically lays out our position and the facts surrounding the Security and Prosperity Partnership. To find out more about it and really start to pressure our elected officials, again, from both the Conservative and Liberal parties, because the Liberal Party put this in motion, and there's some indication that high-ranking members of the Liberal Party are still actually working towards it.
Okay, Chris Sindel, thank you. We are out of time. We will link to that website as well as to the YouTube video that you described earlier. Thank you, Chris, who is a member of the Green Party Shadow Cabinet.